Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, at least the Panthers look good. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Monday. Not so good for SC or Clemson or a lot of other teams around the college football landscape. But hey, we had a weekend, didn't we? We had a weekend. We're back. We're ready to rock and roll. Good AM to you, people. I am Rob Brown on the other side of the metaphorical glass, the guy in charge of every sound that will enter and therefore pleasure your ear holes this morning. The great one, Lonzo. That's a version of the question that was asked many times around the upstate on Saturday. Not great, Bob. Okay, well, that's just personally offensive and unnecessary. Everybody. You know, I was going to have a good time making fun of everybody else today, this morning. That's not true. I'm not going to have a good time doing it. It's not great round the upstate after Saturday. Yes, that is what was said to the hope of any playoff possibilities for the teams out of South Carolina. You're both cooked. You're both done as far as the playoffs go. Neither Clemson nor South Carolina will make it to the playoffs.
So we went throwback, and now we're back to how it used to be.
Yeah, it feels like 2004 up in this busy, doesn't it?
Maybe even earlier than that.
For the first time in 2025, neither South Carolina nor Clemson, as they should not have, received a single vote in the Associated Press Top 25 poll, which, by the way, I have my own massive set of problems with this morning. We'll come to that later, because who cares about everybody else right now? I mean, I got to tell you, Zoe, I think you have to add a sad rooster to the lineup now. I think we have to have a sad rooster.
What were the expectations for South Carolina?
Not this.
Also, not what Clemson's expectations
maybe
were.
Not.
And you interrupted my 10-cat salute. But that's fine.
10-cat salute. I wasn't ready for the 10-cat salute. I didn't know we did a 10-cat salute. Can we get a version of taps?
That's like someone talking again during a moment of silence. What are you doing?
The playoffs are dead for both of these teams now. More importantly, I think the disappointment level is at like 16 out of 10, it's got to be. Here's the issue. And I know we talked about it at length last week with the Gamecocks, but I'm sorry, Clemson, I'm lumping you in this one. What a couple of teams that just didn't have it. They just didn't have it. Like, what am I looking at? For both of these football teams, what am I looking at if I'm a fan or if I'm an analyst or if I'm a fanalist? What am I looking at to say, yeah, it's disappointing, but we're okay? There's nothing. I've got a Clemson defense that was supposed to be the heart and soul of this team that's getting absolutely cooked by Cuse.
Yeah, I heard that too. I heard that at least the defense is good.
They weren't. And by the way,
how about give some credit to Syracuse?
I am going to give a lot of credit to Syracuse because they did. They did play their ass off. They absolutely did. And Steve Angeli, I feel awful that that kid has the injury he has.
You know what this is? People aren't afraid of Clemson anymore. There was a time, you know, during the national championship run where teams would be a little bit afraid coming in, you know, playing the big boys, the bad boys. They're not that anymore. So there's no fear. And when there's no fear, then you, that gives you a little bit of an edge.
I think that that is, I lived through the Bama years. I think that that is certainly true. But I would also say that, to some degree, that might be largely true across college football. Like, it doesn't
you
feel...
You come in, you play a couple series, and you go, wait a minute, we could beat these guys. These guys say, oh, okay, we got this. And then the confidence builds to the point where there's no mystique there anymore in Death Valley. There just isn't.
I don't think there's a lot of that in college football as a whole, but there's another, you're right, but there's another element to that. And I said this Saturday, I had a couple of friends came over for the Saturday games, and we were watching the end of that Clemson game. We watched the South Carolina game together as well. And one of the things that I pointed out was, I think we are in the era of the football dude coach. Right? Like, football dudes. Who have I been giving credit to the last couple of years? Brent Key, Clark Lee, Vanderbilt and Georgia Tech's head coaches. Those are two guys that over the last year have given Clemson and South Carolina either scares or straight up L's, homie. We're in the era of the football dude. You know who else is a football dude? Fran Brown. Fran Brown is a guy. Remember coming into this year when I said there are teams in the ACC that make this conference intriguing this year. Brent Key was one of those guys. Manny Diaz at Duke was one of those guys. Didn't guarantee that they would be successful, just said that they make it interesting. Manny Diaz, different reason. I said, well, it's interesting this year because Duke won 9 last year and they went and they got one of the most sought after quarterbacks in the transfer portal. Did Duke win 9 last year because Manny Diaz got his ass whipped at Miami and he put together some lessons to bring with him to Duke? Or did Duke win 9 last year because Mike Elko, the best coach Duke's ever had, left the cupboard stocked? And it looks like the answer was the latter. But it was still intriguing. But there were a couple of coaches in the SEC that I said, watch out. Watch out for this guy because this dude's just a football dude. Brent Key was one of them. And Fran Brown was one of them. I said Fran Brown's name a lot. And after that win in week 2, when Fran Brown sent his team to the end zone and had him running wind sprints on the field after a win. And Fran Brown took a lot of heat, right? People were like, oh, what is this, 1952? You got your team out there with fans still in the stadium. You got the fans out here running wind sprints, or the team out here running wind sprints in front of the team. And like, SportsCenter and College Game Day Final and all these TV programs were going ham on the guy. And that next day, I came in on the show, and I was like, that's the move of a football dude. That's the move of a guy who, like, not that you're taking it back to the old school, but that is kind of one of those things where you go, you're going to respond one way or the other. Either you're going to look at the coach, and you're going to go, this guy's a dork, I don't want to play for him, or you're going to respond, and you're going to go, we better get it together. Like, we're clearly not living up to the set expectations. And the answer, it appears, was that one. Because Syracuse came out hot. And I do not disagree. I do not think that Death Valley holds the intimidation level that it has held in years gone by. I think you're absolutely right. But I think there's a lot of different reasons for that. One of them is, yeah, Clemson's just not as good as they were. Number two, they're not as good as we thought they were. Like, they are obviously a beatable football team right now. The defense that was expected to be the heart and soul, they're still very good. They got talent, but they look like after Syracuse scored and got the onside kick, the old blitzkrieg onside kick there, it looked like that defense was just kind of like, damn, we got to play two drives before our offense even touches the ball. What is this? Right? On the offensive side of the ball, like, you saw a couple of moments, including the opening drive, where you're like, oh, there it is. That's what we've been looking for. You know what else we saw? I saw Cade Klubnik just missing dudes. I saw an offensive line that was just like not in the right spots, not doing the right thing. I don't know. It's that was of the L's taken by this team in the last couple of years. I want to start with this. As Lonzo said, give a lot of credit to Syracuse because that team came in and went, yeah, talent-wise, on paper, better team. To this day, right now, today, talent-wise, just on paper, Clemson's a better football team. But as the old coaching cliche goes, that's why we don't play the games on paper. That's why we play it on grass. Syracuse on paper, not as good. Syracuse on the grass, better. Because they executed. They knew what their game plan was. They didn't just have one. They didn't just stick to it. But they executed it damn near flawlessly. And even when their starting QB goes down, is out for the year, that makes me sick for Syracuse. But even after Angela goes down, they just send in the next guy. Like, I hate the phrase. This is one of those spots I frequently divest from football dudes. I understand that this is not what they mean when you use the phrase next man up mentality. Got to have that next man up mentality. And I get the point of that expression. The point of the expression is if a guy goes down and he's a guy, the next guy has got to come in and he's got to attack it as if he's the guy. I get that. But that's not usually the way that I think fans use it. I think fans use it with this idea that, well, if a big name goes down, you just plug in the next guy and keep going. Well, there's a reason that the next man up is the next man up and not just the man. There's a reason the man's the man and the next man up is the next man up. So when G League goes down, and as much as you hate to see this, and as much if you are a Clemson fan as, yeah, you want to beat them at full strength. You want to beat them at their best. At the same time, your season is on the line. There was not a snap in that game. Zoe, tell me if this is too far. I don't think it is. There was not a snap in that game from the opening kick to the final whistle. Not a snap in that game where it felt like Clemson had any come from behind power.
Yeah, it was weird. And not just the team itself, but the crowd. And that rain delay, the fact that people didn't come back. They used that excuse. Oh, I guess it was a lightning delay. But it was a lot of rain, too. But that lightning delay, if you notice the crowd afterwards, they were gone. In years past, even with the lightning delay, they would have come back in that stadium, would have filled back up. But it did not.
Man, it's just like there wasn't a point. I go back to the Georgia Tech game. Even in the Georgia Tech game, yes. Georgia Tech jumped out. Georgia Tech was in a good spot. But there were at least times throughout that game where it kind of felt like, you know, we get the right snap of the football here. We get the right moment there. Like we can come back. We can win this football game. It never felt like there was a spot where I looked and went, all right, you know, one snap of the ball the right direction, one big play here, one Adam Randall break off, one, Antonio down the field, big pass, just one snap, one play here, and this game, this narrative gets flipped on its head. Never felt like that. From the moment that Cuse got the opening drive touchdown and then got the onside kick, you had like maybe you had a little fleeting glimpse of that when Cade threw the touchdown to Antonio on their opening drive. You're like, okay, all right, you're still down three, but there you go. That's an early backbreaker. Syracuse defense now got to be going, oh, crap, here come the Tigers. And then that didn't happen at all. It's like after that, just the guts went away, man. Like everything I said about South Carolina last week after Lenoris
Wait,
went down.
So you're saying they didn't bring their own guts?
I'm saying I don't think they brought anybody's guts. Like I'd have been fine if you'd have brought somebody else's guts. There was no guts. Everything I said last week about South Carolina, I think it is abundantly fair to say the same thing about Clemson now. Like that's just bad. It's just bad. It's just embarrassing. It's just bad. We're going to talk about the X's and O's. We're going to talk about the takeaways. I got some audio from Dabo's post-game press conference. I'm going to tell you now, right this very second, I've got the media schedule for this week for the Clemson Tigers waiting for me in my email. I got a sneaky suspicion, great one. I got a sneaky suspicion Dabo's press conference this week ain't going to sound quite as hoof as last week's press conference, is it?
I love it. I saw some people posting like a Batman spotlight, but it had Tyler's name in it. Thought that was pretty good.
Tyler from Spartanburg, we need you more than ever. Dabo, you have failed this city. Oh, that's Arrow. That's a different thing. My superhero streams are crossing, but you get the point. I think Dabo's press conference just became must-see TV. And I'm going to call the shot now. I suspect, and I'm going to say this respectfully, though I don't know that there is a way to say it respectfully that doesn't sound disrespectful. I'm going to guess there's going to be a healthy amount of po-little Clemson in the press conference this week. I don't think we're going to be getting the history lesson from Dabo Swinney. I don't think we're going to get the, if you're criticizing us, you've never been a real fan lecture from Dabo this week.
So last week we were talking and you said you didn't see anybody calling for Dabo's job. Have you seen it now?
Because
I've seen it in abundance.
Yes.
I also sent you something. I don't know if you have it or not, but I just sent it to you. So check it out during the break.
I think the answer to that is yes, and I think that it has begun to creep into the more reasonable fan. I will say this. I think
Did you read any of Cole's posts?
I have not, but now I need to go do that, obviously, immediately. I think that the one thing that I have seen the most so far, is the concerns about nepotism. That Clemson is a franchise, a program full of nepo babies. Because somebody went and posted the coaching and administrative list of people that are former players or they have familial connections with admins and coaching staff, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a lot of them, like a lot, like 25-ish people who are like Dabo's guys or related to somebody in the athletics department. And for a program that is the size and stature of Clemson, I'm not saying there's going to be none of that. But like, it's a huge chunk of your office. And when you're having the failures that you're having right now, it does feel like it's a pretty good time to question what's happening. So we're going to do that. We're going to talk about what went wrong in this game. South Carolina, you ain't off the hook. We're coming to you because you look like booty cheeks too. All that and more coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Robert has been kind enough to join us on our live stream, facebook.com/thefanupstate, thefanupstate on Twitter or on YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. We'd love to have you join us this AM. Robert is one of the 6 AMers that has joined us here on the stream. He said, is the ACC that good or is Clemson that bad? Heavy thinking, scratching the chin emoji. Robert, the answer is, I think, as most things are, on a gradient, or as we call it here on the show, the sliding scale of truth. On one end, you have, hey, the ACC is a real and respectable football conference. And on the other side, you have Clemson has completely and entirely fallen off the cliff. The answer, the true answer, is somewhere in the middle. Now, I went through this preseason trying to let the people know, I think the ACC is a better football conference this year than people are giving it credit for. I think it's a better conference than anybody wants to acknowledge or admit. And I did think that at some point that would prove itself to be true on the football field. And granted, we're only, what, 4-ish weeks into the season so far. But I would say so far we're getting a pretty good indication that while not the Big Ten, while not the SEC, the ACC is better than expected. You have a Georgia Tech team that is 4-0, ranked inside the top 25. You have a Miami Hurricane team that has just jumped LSU, is undefeated at 4-0, is now number 2 in the country. You have a Florida State team that is 3-0 and is number 8 in the country. And on top of that, you have an undefeated Louisville team that is just outside of the top 25. You have got...
Have any of those teams beat anyone outside of the ACC that matters?
Florida State beat Alabama.
Okay.
Miami beat Notre Dame.
Okay.
It's not outside of the ACC, but...
Notre Dame, you can't put that...
Why not? They're top 25.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess there is that.
Here's the thing. Notre Dame actually looked pretty good this weekend. They looked pretty good this weekend. There was the argument last week, and I'm not saying I agreed with it. I'm just saying the argument from a lot of people about Notre Dame being ranked was, yeah, they're 0-2, but they're 0-2 against two pretty damn good football teams because, hey, look, here come the Aggies of Texas A&M. So now not technically speaking, as of today, Notre Dame's two losses came to two top 10 teams. And two top 10 teams that have earned their way into the top 10. One of them now sits at number 2 in the country. And again, the AP poll is not, a religious document to me by any stretch of the imagination. But for what it is and how we weight it, Notre Dame at 1-2 with two losses to two top 10 teams sitting around the bottom of the top 25, it kind of feels a little bit more justified today than we laughed at last week. We'll come back to that because I do want to get to Notre Dame and the AP Top 25 a little bit later on in the show. But, it is, I think, true and bearing out that some of the teams that I told you to be aware of, hell, the Virginia Cavaliers look better. They're 3-1. That's the team Florida State plays this weekend. FSU's on notice at Tony Elliott's boys. They feel like they've got a little vibe going right now. So The point here is, I think there is some accuracy to the Atlantic Coast Conference is a better football conference than a lot of people, except me, thought it was going to be this year. But on the flip side, Robert, I think the other side of that equation is probably a little bit more true. That it appears the wheels are falling off of the Clemson Tiger program right now. Because it's kind of like South Carolina. Some of the there are things about good programs or programs that you think are good or programs that are on an upward trajectory. There are things about those types of programs that I think you take for granted because that's why they're good. With Alabama, it was always for granted that Alabama, when Nick Saban was in charge, was going to have some absolute bleeping monsters across the offensive line on both sides, which is why there's a not insignificant number of offensive and defensive linemen, around, same with Georgia, around the NFL. And that is because Nick Saban and Kirby Smart took this lesson from him, from Nick Saban. You win from the out or from the inside out. You win from the center position moving outward from the football. That was always something you could take for granted with Alabama. And I think you can probably still, to some degree, take it for granted with Georgia. With Clemson during the heyday, you could always kind of take for granted that Clemson was going to have a quarterback whose hands you weren't afraid to have on the football in big-time situations. Right now, do any of you trust Cade Klubnik in a big-time situation? I think the answer's got to be no. Did you trust DJ Uiagalelei in big-time situations? I think the answer was maybe more than Cade Klubnik, but no. And so if we don't trust that about the quarterbacks, then one of the other things we can say we don't trust anymore is Clemson just going to have the next guy ready to inherit that throne? And I think the answer is no. I was watching this game with a big-time Clemson guy, like booster, donor, season ticket holder, who just didn't go to that game Saturday, by the way. Like, he's at every game. He was not at that game. I'm like, why didn't you go? He's like, I don't have good vibes about it right now. Game ended. He's like, Rob Brown, that's why I didn't go. Because if I was down there right now, I would have been PTFO. It's like, yeah, all right, that's fair.
So he wasn't angry right then?
Oh, no, he was angry.
Okay, all right.
But not as angry had he been, had he got up Saturday morning, driven down there, sat through a 96-minute weather delay, and then watched his team get not beat by Syracuse, but get owned by Syracuse for a full four quarters. So we were having the conversation in the fourth quarter, and he's like, yo, at some point, we've got to roll Vezina out there, right? Like, at some point, we've got to bench Cade and just see if the next guy can be the spark guy. And I said, hang on, buddy. Let me ask you this question. I didn't call him buddy disrespectfully. I just don't want to say his name on the radio. I said, let me ask you this. After the DJU experiment was an abject failure, after Cade Klubnik is, I would say now, respectfully, a failure, do you have any level of belief, hope, faith that the next guy's the right guy? Like, you've missed on two in a row. Do you have any level of confidence despite all of the wonderful things that have been said about Chris Vezina? That you're just going to plug that guy in, and even if he's rough around the edges, he's the spark guy. He's the dude. He's ready to go. Because I promise you, I have not heard the amount of good things about a quarterback since Tim freaking Tebow that I have heard about Cade Klubnik. I mean, at ACC Media Days, I was at the I think second night, second or third night, it doesn't matter. They threw a little get together at one of the bars by the hotel, media exclusive. They rented out a bar. They brought all the media there, and it was just kind of a meet and greet, shake hands, you know, network, get to know each other kind of deal. Cool. So I was sitting in a booth with a friend of the show, Susan, and a couple of other media people that I had either been introduced to or met during the days. I think there were like six of us sitting at a booth around a round table. And I think four of them were people there that were covering Clemson. And we were talking ball. And at some point, Cade Klubnik was being discussed. And I said at one point, are y'all sure? You're all the Clemson experts. You cover this team as beat reporters pretty much exclusively. Are you all in on Cade Klubnik absolutely being the guy? And it was consensus around the table. And not just consensus around the table, but it was consensus around the table. And I got pretty much beat up on for questioning that. Of course he is, Rob. Look at the numbers from last year. And I said, yo, look, the numbers are very good. But there are people asking questions about stat padding. If you're getting those numbers against Pitt and Boston College and Wake Forest, but when the game is on the line against Texas and South Carolina, good teams, that's where I have a problem. And they're like, well, yeah, but there's also another year of growth and exponential development and blah, blah, blah. None of that's come to fruition, right? So even if you would have made the change, whether it's in that game or moving forward, do you have any belief? I never would have thought that I would question that. I never would have thought that I would question the offensive line at Clemson. But they're hanging Cade out to dry. Like one of the questions I've had, or at least one of the lifelines that I have been willing to throw to Cade Klubnik has been, I'd be playing scared too if I was running behind that offensive line. In fact, on cue, Jacob shows up in the chat and says, bro, I've been the biggest Cade hater, and I've gotten to the point where I actually kind of feel bad for him. Now, he adds, that's how bad he is. But I would also say, playing behind that offensive line, I'm going to go that the same thing on Lenora Sellers coming up in a little while. Of course he's running 15 yards backwards on first and goal from the one and losing 13. Of course he is behind that offensive line. So what are we going to do about it? All right, we'll come to South Carolina next. I'm Rob, he's Lonzo. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. Talking college football in the opening hour here on the Fan Up State.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. The Fan Upstate, Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. I would like to read you a tweet that I posted Saturday evening at 10:33 p.m. The tweet says, and I quote, honest truth, I don't need to break this game down on Monday. You all saw what was wrong. No discipline, no run game, no defensive awareness. This was embarrassing for South Carolina. I have zero positive takeaways. Now, I would like to amend that statement. I would like to amend that statement for pretty much one thing and one thing alone. The one thing that I would like to amend that statement for is I actually think I probably need to cool it on the criticism of Lenora Sellers in this game. Now, he was not good. Let me be very clear. The take here is not, oh, Lenora Sellers was great, and if only the team would have done their job. That's not it. Because Lenora Sellers had a lot of mental mistakes in this game. To the fact that I will say now, after an 0-2 start in the conference, I think the Lenora Sellers for Heisman campaign is over. Not as over as the Cade Klubnik for Heisman campaign, but over enough that it's over. 18 of 28, 302, two touchdowns, no interceptions. For a lot of quarterbacks, that's a pretty good stat line. The problem is, do you know how? If I include sacks in this game, do you know how many yards, if I include sacks as a negative stat, Lenora Sellers, air quote, ran for in this game? Minus 28. If you need it, the South Carolina Gamecocks in this game ran for a team total, sacks included as negative yardage, minus 9 yards in this contest.
That's running the wrong way.
That's a lot. That's actually 9 yards exactly in the wrong way.
You're supposed to run the opposite direction.
And just to put that into perspective, if you were to remove Lenora's rushing total from this contest, the South Carolina Gamecocks would have run great one for a whopping 19 yards in this contest. Now,
all at once or separate?
No, it actually would have been broken up if I take Lenora's out of that equation. That would have been a dozen rushes for 19 yards, which is, however you want to slice that number up, and I feel good about using this term. It's not a term I use very often because it is a very complex scientific term. Real bad. That's real bad. It is especially bad when you rush for minus 9 yards, take the sacks away from that total, and it is 19 yards, and you give up, and no, this is not a verbal typo, 285 rushing yards to Missouri. Now, I would like to be crystal clear. Ahmad Hardy is a really good running back. But there's another problem that I had with the defense. Well, there's really a bunch of problems I had. The first one leads to the second one. Never thought that I would say this. Much like I said last week, there are very few things about South Carolina I did not think that I would question at any point this year. One of the things I think that, or I did not think that I would question, physicality on defense. Yeah, even if you're not real good, even if you don't have a ton of talent, what I fully expect is that you'd come out there and wrap some dudes up and drive through the chest and tackle. Instead, what I saw, and I'm about to sound hot takey, but I mean what I say, was soft. And I'm not talking S-O-F-T. I'm talking S-A-W-F-T. It was a lot of run up to a guy and then go with the shoulder. Just a bump. Not even like lawn darting with the shoulder. I'm talking like run up and bump with the shoulder and hope he goes down. I was embarrassed for South Carolina. Not by, for South Carolina. I was embarrassed for you. Because now, the one thing that I have been saying for a hot minute now. Yeah, look, it's going to take a little while to get talent into this program. It is unfortunate, but true. This is not something that Shano, you know, waves a magic wand and says some magic words and whew, a bunch of five stars show up. It's going to take time because you've got a bunch of narratives that you've got to overcome. And there's a couple of ways that you do it. One of the ones that I have pointed out And I said this last week, remember on, what was it, Wednesday, when I said, is it me or for going into what feels like it should be a pretty massive week? Is it like disturbingly quiet around Columbia, South Carolina right now? And somebody, I think it was Jacob on the stream, said, Rob, why is that bad? You know, I always got taught, work in silence so you can celebrate in public. And I said, yeah, like for a lot of people and outlets and places, that's absolutely true. But you are going to have success by being the brand and being outward facing and getting people excited about you. The second thing that you would lean on, and this is part of the brand, is by playing a brand of football that if I'm watching, I go, yeah, they might lose, but this is friggin' electric, man. Like, they might lose, but this is gas, dude. Anybody watch that defense on Saturday and feel inspired? Anybody watch that defense on Saturday and feel like there was a magnet to it? Anybody watch that defense on Saturday night against Missouri and think that if you are, hell, a mid-class defender in this state, that's where you think you go ply the trade and get excited about it? Not me. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed for you. And there was one spot in particular that I was so embarrassed that I did something that I don't ordinarily do. I went with the all caps plus a GIF tweet. If I ever tweet in all caps and I stick a GIF on the end, please know I'm in my feelings one way or the other. How many times in a freaking drive do I have to watch Bo Prabula take a snap, watch the defense part like the Red Sea, and just whip it for 12 up the gut? How many times did he do that in that game? He had 9 rushes for 72 yards. How many times did I need to watch their quarterback? It would, like, at some point, and I was yelling this at the TV. At some point, it becomes a design play for Mizzou. Here's the play, guys. Snap it to Bo. Wide receivers, 9s, all of you. 5 wide, run 9s, everybody streak down there, because for some reason, they just play it like every bleeping snap's going to be a Hail Mary. I'm watching cornerbacks and safeties dive off into deep protect coverage. Linebackers go out with them. And the next thing I know, your edge rushers and tackles are getting filtered to the outside, and it parts like the Red Sea. And Bo just goes, huh, dope. Right up the middle. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 yards. Like, how many times is the same freaking thing going to beat you in one game? And for the record, just so you're clear, this isn't the overreaction. This is the reaction. The overreaction was Saturday night when I was going all caps tweets and GIFs on Twitter. That was the overreaction. This is the, I've had a day to process. I've had an opportunity to watch some super clips, some super highlights. I've had an opportunity to sit back and think and watch and blah, 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 blah. This isn't the overreaction. This is the reaction. I'm not even in your fan base. I'm glad my wife was at a bachelorette party not having to watch this crap, because I'd have had to deal with an angry wife. It was garbage. I was embarrassed. And this is a game, by the way, that you were leading at halftime. This was a game that you were leading in the third quarter. This is a game that with a little bit of execution and with a little bit better, again, I'm not asking your defense to go out there and look like the friggin' 85 Bears. I'm just asking you to maybe, like, not have a bunch of soft-ass shoulder tackles when Ahmad Hardy is just dicing you up like an angry Gordon Ramsay. Just, that's dicing. That's dicing like onions, you know. He's getting you.
It's a little slow.
I'm not good with the knife play yet. I'm working on it. Oh, that's not the words I should use there. I'm not good with utilizing knives in the kitchen. It's not my sharpest skill yet. All right? I haven't practiced enough, which is embarrassing.
Sharpest skill. That was, yeah.
I didn't even do that on purpose. That's how good I am at this. So, we got a lot we got to talk about and a lot we got to break down. But for both of these two teams, the takeaway from the weekend was I'd be embarrassed if I were you. Honestly, I'd be embarrassed. South Carolina, the defensive effort was embarrassing. Clemson, what wasn't? I mean, it looked like after they got the onside kick, like your team just wilted like a flower in the summer sun. Just faded away. I don't know why that one needed a sound effect. They don't make sounds. You get the point. That was embarrassing. The entire upstate on Saturday, I have to assume, was embarrassed. At least the people I watched was. Now, coming up later on in the show, let's talk about the reasons why. I just gave you one on the field for South Carolina. I got one for Clemson as well. There is one common thing between these two teams that both of them have to get figured out before next year, or I can pretty much say the reign of whatever you are for both schools right now, I think it's over. Honestly, I think it's over if a couple of major things don't change. I'll give you some thoughts on what those are. The Carolina Panthers beat the absolute dog you know what out of the Atlanta Falcons. That was fun. We're going to talk about that, and we'll take a look around the rest of the college and NFL worlds. All of that coming up after Lonzo pleasures your ear holes in the most sensual of ways with his sports flash.
Why you always got to get weird about it, man? It's like 7 a.m. almost. Carolina Panthers' first win of the year was one of the more impressive in the NFL. A 30-0 shutout of the Atlanta Falcons. Bryce Young finished the day 16-24 for 121 yards with a rushing touchdown, while the Panthers ran for 110 and two scores. Carolina's defense picked off Atlanta's quarterback Michael Penix Jr. twice and recovered a fumble as well. Kansas City Chiefs picked up their first win of the season with a 22-9 victory over the New York Giants last night. Patrick Mahomes threw for 224 yards and a touchdown, and Kareem Hunt added a rushing touchdown. Kansas City defense picked off Russell Wilson twice and held him to just 160 yards passing. Ryan Blaney led 116 of 301 laps and held off a late charge from Josh Berry to win the Mobile One 301 in New Hampshire to kick off round two of the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. William Byron, Joey Logano, and Chase Elliott rounded out the top five.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.